and welcome to The Best Worst Story You've Never Read. I'm your host, Cameron Lindsay, and each week I hope you'll join me to hear a story that sucks. A tale that is so terrible, an adventure so awful, that it's great. This week I will be reading another chapter from our continuing story. As always, the author's original intent has been maintained as much as possible. So without further ado, here is chapters 3 and 4 of Wandering Wanderers, A Mystery, by Z.F. Windler, 11. Chapter 3.
So what do you see?
Eisenhower asked Ambrose. He was looking to gain some information. The internal investigation agent would arrive in less than 30 hours, and he needed to have as many details as possible to make his case.
What do you think? Nothing, just like everyone else,
Ambrose replied. He was lying. He had found footprints the same size as his. He noticed a strand of hair that roughly matched his color and length. He had even found an old bowling alley membership club card that he had lost months before. Someone was obviously setting him up and was trying to uncover his past killings. Luckily, none of this was in the local report, partially because only a trained eye like Ambrose's could find them, partially because of how ill-equipped the police department was.
So what good are you to us, then? We'd be better off letting our families move on instead of having you dig through their lives if you can't help,
Eisenhower lashed out.
Cool it, all right? What this community needs is answers, not some sheriff with a fire up his ass about the feds. I've got what I need. Take me back already.
Yeah, whatever you say,
Eisenhower said angrily.
I think I've got what I need here, too.
Chapter 4. Eisenhower paced back and forth in his office. He had sent everyone else home for the day. He didn't want word of the internal investigation to get back to Ambrose.
When are they going to get here?
He yelled to no one in particular. He knew Ambrose was the killer. He had all the information he needed, too. He looked at his own web of string and clues on his office wall. He kept it hidden behind his framed map of Dorsey Cliffsburg. He had snapshots of the membership card, the hair, the shoe print. Everything Ambrose thought Eisenhower was too dumb to notice. He had a lot more, too. He had it all. All the information about all of Ambrose's killings, in fact. But he couldn't reveal it yet. It was almost time, but he couldn't take down Ambrose just yet. He had to make it look like Ambrose had killed Wilma, too. That way people would be surprised when another girl died with Ambrose behind bars. And another. And another. Eisenhower hated Ambrose, that's true, but he hated him because Eisenhower wanted to be him. He had killed Wilma. He had even killed a few others that Ambrose didn't know about yet, and once he had Ambrose out of the picture, he would kill many, many more. But this time, he would get the credit. Just then, he heard the jingle of the front doorbell. He ran to the front office to find a rather lumpy figure in a tall trench coat and wide-brimmed hat. The figure's face was obscured.
Hello? Can I help you?
Eisenhower asked the figure, very confused. A light growling sound came from within the coat. Eisenhower then realized the figure was not human. It was clearly just a group of foxes standing on one another and posing as a human. They were Internal Investigations Agent Fox Boulder. That was Chapter 3 and 4 of Wandering Wanderers, A Mystery, by Z.F. Windler, 11. And now time for the part of the show where we bring on a special guest to talk about the story that we've just heard. Today we have Rochelle Crotty, an aspiring political economist, a Tinder expert, and a Gregorian chant expert as well. Rochelle, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for being on. all of this stuff is really interesting. That's an eclectic amount and number of interests. How did you get into these things? Start wherever you want, and don't tell us which ones you're describing, because I want the listeners to guess.
I started about a year ago, and my expertise was not really something I was looking for, but it's kind of been attributed to me from others.
From others or for mothers? I
don't think mothers would appreciate my expertise, though.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So I assume at this point we're talking about political economy.
I guess that could also be said about political economy for me.
All right. Well, I mean, it was worth guessing. I would also like the listeners to know that Rochelle and I are both enjoying beverages this evening. I'm actually going to open one right now. Rochelle has already opened hers. Rochelle, what are you drinking?
Champagne. I'm not familiar with the brand.
Yeah, it is very dark in here. Based on the bottle, though, it looks like a 94 vintage, if I'm not mistaken.
That would be nice. I don't think it is that old. Yeah. I don't know anything about champagne and age, but generally the older the wine, the better. But
yeah, I'm not sure about champagne either. I've heard future champagne is actually good. So
I would love to try future champagne.
I mean, maybe you'll get the chance in the future.
That would be nice.
I'm drinking, I don't know if you're interested. Would you like to ask what I'm drinking?
Yes, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking, I'm really a cider fan. So I'm drinking a cider. I've been trying a variety of fruits lately. I've had cherry and pear, rhubarb. I'm now expanding into other things, trying to keep it seasonal. This one particularly is, just an oak, which isn't actually a type of cider. It's also not actually liquid. This is, if you noticed, there are just some pieces of wood in this bottle, and I'm just licking them.
Have you tried lambics before?
Oh, no. Is that also a type of tree, or?
No, it's fruit. It has a very low alcohol content, but if you add it to wood or beer, it can really improve the flavor.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. I really just have been drinking the wood, partially because I'm trying all of these different things in the season, but also because of the fiber.
Can't have enough fiber.
Yeah, my doctor told me I need to start washing stuff out, so fiber's the way to do that. But enough about me and what I'm drinking. Let's get to these interests of yours. So, you're a political economist. What price would you put on that, I guess?
I don't know that you can put a price on it, but you could, actually. I think I owe $40,000 in student loans.
Oh, wow. That's not that bad.
I think it's the national average.
Really?
Or thereabouts.
Okay, so that's good. I would say that it was mostly a joke, you know, economy, price and everything. So I guess as a follow-up, and I would like to remind you at this point about the joke part, what political side do you think that education would be on? Like, what party would it ascribe to? Like the Bull Moose or...
I don't know it necessarily ascribes to any particular party. It does tend to be more progressive.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, I would say that too. Okay. That's what I was thinking. Let's talk about the other thing. Well, what about this Tinder stuff? So, listeners, if you all don't know, Tinder, of course, is an app for people like me, as I was talking about earlier, with the wood, who like to start small fires with pieces of wood that they find and pair up with people. You're giving me a strange... Is this a different Tinder? Are we talking about...
This is a different Tinder.
Oh. Well, what's the Tinder that you're talking about?
It's an app. I think it's characterized primarily as a dating or hookup app. So very different from wood and starting fires. Although...
Wood
I
could
guess
be
that,
related. Yeah.
I guess the popular emoji for Tinder is the little fire emoji.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. And you might be, depending on what your interests are, might be looking for some wood. A different kind of wood, perhaps, you could find there.
You could find one kind of wood, but the physical kind from trees you cannot find on Tinder.
Yeah, well, deforestation and everything. I understand. Well, you're an expert. Tell us, what are your secrets?
I don't know that I have any secrets.
You just put it all out in the open.
Yeah.
It's just all out for everyone to see.
Yeah, I would say be wary of people with fish pictures. Dead okay. animals are not generally a go-to for me.
So you don't want to date dead animals? Is that, or, that's oh, correct. You're suggesting, okay, but you meant it in another way?
I also prefer not to date people with dead animals in their photo, but dating dead animals is not my go-to.
Okay. Is this true of all dead animals? Because I feel like this is kind of a gross generalization. I feel like it's possible, like, for example, let's say I had the opportunity to meet the late, as he has died, great, Pilpo the chimpanzee. I'm sure you're familiar with Pilpo. He's been in a number of feature films, beloved across the world. His body is preserved in a medium-sized container in a town outside of Philadelphia. If I was to use that as a picture, because that would be a big moment in my life to be able to see Pilpo's frozen body, you would just immediately say no?
That is correct.
I don't mean to suggest that you're being close-minded about that, but you might want to open your mind about that.
I will say, if that's your leading picture, I will definitely say swipe left for you, to use the lingo of Tinder.
Okay.
But if it's your last picture and there's some kind of explanation in your bio, mm-hmm. I might be willing to give you a second chance.
Oh, well, that's... Okay. Okay. Well, that's fine. Yeah, that's... I think that's a fair argument. What kind of people would you say yes to? What kind of people have you said yes to?
Well, first let me explain how you match with someone.
How you match with someone?
Yes, that again.
Are you sure you're not talking about my Tinder? Because we talk about matches as well. Matches are useful for starting small fires.
This is true. I think this might be why Tinder uses this particular language.
Oh, actually. Like a double meaning.
Yes.
Okay.
You match with someone that you have swiped right for, and okay. they have also swiped right for you.
Oh, wow. So you know that this is good.
I don't know about good, but you know that the other person has indicated interest in you.
Okay, all right.
Then this allows you to message each other.
Okay, okay. And that therein might be where you could get some wood, I guess, is what I would...
You could get some wood... It depends on how you proposition the person that you've been matched with.
Okay, because otherwise they might say no.
Well, they could offer you some firewood, and that might be useful for your Tindering purposes.
Right, right. Okay. Well, then, I guess, since I've been properly educated on this lingo, tell me who are some people you've matched with?
No one of note here in Austin.
Oh.
In my previous city, there was... one guy who was very gentlemanly, which is not the norm necessarily.
Gentlemanly as in like a top hat and like a monocle?
No, although that would be very fun.
Would you swipe right on someone wearing a top hat and a monocle?
Perhaps. It depends.
What if they had a pipe?
A pipe is fine if, again, the dead animal thing is a really strong...
What if it was like a taxidermied animal behind them?
Oh, that's even worse than normal
really?
Dead animals, yeah.
Okay, so what if it's not taxidermied? What if it's just a corpse hanging on the wall?
Bad sign.
Oh, huh. I really feel like these are indicators of gentlemen, Rochelle. I feel like I understand gentlemen better than maybe you. And either way, continue explaining
maybe
the gentleman.
Maybe gentleman is a poor choice of words, but this particular guy actually wanted to go on a date first.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Which was nice.
Did it go well?
Yeah. We went and got Italian food.
Oh, yeah.
Which is always fun.
Yep. Italian food is always fun. I exclusively eat Italian food in ball pits, actually.
In ball pits?
Yeah, like plastic balls. Like
oh, okay.
Yeah, like at a children's fun zone or something. Or I find that since Italian food is so fun, ball pits are also fun. Double your fun.
Compounded fun.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm not an economist.
Well, as an aspiring political economist, mm-hmm. I only use that word colloquially anyways.
Oh, I see. Okay, well, let's see. We've hit those two. The Gregorian chanting.
Yes.
You're expert on that, too. That's impressive. I noticed you had filled out the interest form with our producer, Brian, earlier, and I saw on here that you had listed a number of chants that you would be willing to do on the show, actually. So if you don't mind, I was thinking about just picking one at random and having you perform for our audience. I mean, I know the acoustics in here aren't great for chanting, so.
Do you have a preference of the ones I've listed?
I'm just going to choose one. I noticed you put down Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. I was just wondering, is that a Beatles? You're laughing. I didn't. I mean, you put down that you could sing this song.
I did include that one. I thought it would
I mean, would another one be better? I mean, you also put Yellow Submarine, which I thought was more appropriate for Gregorian chant, but I thought it would be.
Well, I figured as an expert in Gregorian chanting that putting down Beatles songs would make me more likable to be selected to
Okay,
be
so you don't want to do... That's fine. This one says that it's an original song of yours, which I think sounds great. It's Colonoscopy. That's just the name of the song. You wrote this?
I did, yes.
I'd love to hear the original song, Colonoscopy, the Gregorian chant.
It hasn't been produced yet, formally. It's still currently being
written. So this is like an exclusive, like a first look.
If you'd like, yes.
A first listen, I guess. Mm-hmm. So yeah, just whenever you're ready, just go ahead with that one. For our listening audience, Rochelle is currently covering her face with her hands and trying to hold back from laughing. Rochelle, what is so funny? I'm trying to engage in this Gregorian chant stuff with personally. I didn't find that interesting to begin with, but I thought since you put it down as your interest, that would be
something. I'm sorry, I just never had anyone be interested in my interest.
Is this real? Are you actually an expert in Gregorian chants?
Well, Cameron, to be completely honest with you, I lied about being an expert in Gregorian chanting.
Yeah.
I did.
Okay. Now, I'm not trying to say that I'm mad, which I kind of am, but I'm not trying to say that. Disappointed? I'm also not trying to say I'm that, which I kind of am, but I'm not trying to say that. But, I mean, we had other things to talk about, so I guess we just won't talk about that. Why would you lie? Why would you lie on the paper?
I have a problem with lying.
Oh, really?
Lying is fun.
That doesn't sound like a problem. That sounds like you just enjoy it. That's when I enjoy something, it's generally not a problem.
That's true. But then it gets me into situations like this.
Is this a lie?
Well, the Gregorian chanting expertise
part. Yeah, but
is
this part where you're saying that you have a problem with lying, was that also a lie?
Oh, no. But I should have lied.
Okay. I'm kind of done with this, honestly, if I'm going to be quite honest. Why don't we play a game?
Let's play a game.
Okay, so the story that we heard, which we didn't even talk about, which I thought had lots of stuff in it.
But oh, perhaps it's fascinating.
Okay, that sounds like a lie. I'm not gonna lie. That sounded like a lie.
I didn't intend it to be a lie.
Okay, well, this is what we're going to do. We'll talk about the story in the second half of the show, because we're going to take a break in a minute, but we're only going to take a 5-minute break, because during that 5 minutes, I'm going to ask you to write a response to the story that we just heard. Chapters 3 and 4 of Wandering Wanderers, A Mystery by Z.F. Winnether 11. Are you okay with that?
Yeah, let's do it.
Is that a lie?
No.
Okay. So the trick is that you only get 5 minutes, right? That's the catch. This is the thing, too. So the next episode is actually the conclusion to the story. So we've already done something that was a prequel. We already did something about Harry Truman. Next episode, we'll probably have them do a sequel to it. Well, why don't you write a story about the internal investigations agent, the group of foxes, Fox Boulder, as it were.
Okay, sounds good.
Yes, but you only get 5 minutes.
Yes, okay. 5 minutes.
Okay, so if you're ready, we'll take our 5 minutes now. Oh, it's just me, madam.
Oh, who's that?
Oh, I'm just here to say we're back. And we're back. How'd that story go?
I think it went okay.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's a little short.
Oh. A little short? So, like, it's doubly small? Or, like, just normal size short?
Just normal size short.
Okay. Well, that's fine. I mean, 5 minutes isn't a lot of time, so I understand. So you want to read it?
Sure. Should I start?
I guess I should say this is a response to Wandering Wanderers, A Mystery by Z.F. Windler 11. But this is specifically, you wrote about the internal investigation agent Fox Boulder.
Yes, Agent Fox Boulder.
How did you write it? What is it, like a sequel or what is?
Just a little backstory.
All right. Fox. So yeah, whenever you're ready.
Okay, here we go. Agent Fox Boulder wasn't just one man. He wasn't a man at all. He was a family of foxes. Mother Fox is at the head. She makes most of the executive decisions. Then the rest of the human body is made up of those of us who have proved our worth. This system works fairly well, but we tend to have poor control over the feet, as these are the foxes of our family that are easily distracted and aren't intent on investigating rogue FBI agents.
Oh, so this was... Well, one, I thought this was interesting because it was in first person. It's from the point of view of one of the foxes.
Yes.
Right? That's interesting. And then also, it wasn't so much a prequel, it was more of just like a description, which I think is really valuable because... I think during the story, it could be confusing that we've got what is fairly realistic so far and has now become very strange with these Tower of Foxes standing on top of one another to make this human form that is an FBI agent. I think it'll be really useful to really help solidify an image in the listeners' minds about what Fox Boulder really looks like. So thanks for that. But let's talk, since we didn't in the first half of the show, let's talk about the story some. What do you think?
I was excited to read it. It's a fun story.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, you've heard the other episodes now. You've heard the whole story up until now. Big twist.
Yes.
Eisenhower. That was...
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't see it coming. And I had read it already, actually.
Oh.
So... Yeah.
Well, listening to it, it was a big deal.
Yeah. I think... I didn't know what I thought. I kind of got chills at one point. I really thought that with the internal investigations agent coming in, that it would be this big to-do. But now, I think listeners might understand why I chose this as the best worst story.
Well, I think the foxes really add something... to the story.
Oh, really?
I do.
What do you think it adds?
I think it adds a magical realism twist that the reader didn't see coming.
I see. This is from your highfalutin academia stuff.
I guess it could be construed as that, yes.
Okay, well. We generally don't like that on here, but I'm willing to hear more about it. Would you like to elaborate?
Well, I think highfalutin stuff is kind of fun, because, you know... I don't think anyone likes highfalutin inherently. It seems rather snobbery.
Yeah.
Is that a word?
No. Not in this instance.
Oh.
I know, because I'm highfalutin about those things.
Ah.
I guess this does make me wonder, what do you think falutin means? And how do you spell it?
I know how to spell it. Faultin. Falutin.
Really?
Yes.
Faultin?
If word spell correct,
wow.
Is accurate.
That's insane.
I do not know individually what that word means.
Okay. So we could just make it whatever, we could mean whatever, make it mean whatever we want to.
I guess we could.
So it's the same as science in that sense. This message, by the way, and the message from the previous episode is brought to you by a campaign that I am heading myself. The campaign for Science is Not Real. Science is not real. Stop telling me that it is. Thank you. Sorry, I'm just running a small campaign. I recently got into a debate with a number of my family members and close friends about whether or not I was tallest. They say that I'm not because I'm only 6 foot, and several of members of my family are 6'2" and 6'3" and 6'4". And I said that I definitely was, and I was using
myself as fact, which I think is fair enough. But they were trying to use science and math and other things, which I simply think are not real, at least in this instance.
So. I think many people would agree with you, like our government.
I'm not a political economist, but I'll take your word for it. Personally, I think politics aren't real either. There are lots of things I don't think are real. Just name some things.
Hobbits.
Hobbits are not real.
But they're adorable.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean they are real.
I mean, I think Tolkien would disagree.
Okay, name some other things.
Unicorns.
Unicorns are not real.
Why not?
They just aren't. Non-science proves that. Non-science is actually a real thing.
Oh, please describe it for me.
It's not science.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. And it's real.
So, just to clarify.
Mm-hmm.
Non-science is real.
Non-science is real, yes.
Science is fake. Or untrue.
Yeah. Both.
Both.
And also not real.
Okay. So what are some things that are real?
Non-science is one of those, that I'm tallest. That's real.
Okay.
The toast that I had this morning started off as real, and then I finished it, and it wasn't real. Before I toasted it, also wasn't real. It was just bread. Bread isn't real.
What about investigating rogue FBI agents who are made of foxes?
Yeah, those are real. Yeah.
Okay.
Have you not met one of those?
I mean, our friend Agent Fox Boulder is one of those.
Yeah. Well, I mean, my neighbors, actually. Did you meet any of my neighbors when you were coming in?
I saw some curtains move when I walked up, but I didn't meet anyone.
Now the one downstairs is the mermaid, but the guy who lives across the street is actually just a tower of foxes.
Oh.
And he does work in the police force, the local police force. Not an FBI agent. I mean, he's got a ways to go. He's not very good, honestly.
Is he familiar with our author?
ZF Wendler 11? I'm not sure. I mean, I guess it's possible that ZF Wendler 11 is that tower of foxes in the other apartment. But I have only had contact with ZF Wendler 11 by email, actually. Okay. They sent in their story in that way. Which I guess something I should say to our listeners as well. Listeners, we now have a Facebook page. You can find us by searching for The Best Worst Story You've Never Read, our name. You can like us there, and then you can send us any stories that you have through there. And maybe we'll read them on the show, just like ZF Wendler's Wandering Wanderers, A Mystery. Oh, some other exciting news. Actually, we're going to be making some extra content in the future. Our producer, Brian Dickman, and I are working on some secret stuff that we'll be putting out in the future. So be on the lookout for that. But I think what we should be on the lookout right now for is this big wheel.
Yes.
This is the next of us. Because I'm going to ask you to spin it in a second.
Okay.
So is that okay?
It's for a game.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's,
then I'm down.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
If it was for something else, would you have been up?
I might have asked a question or two, but
yeah.
Games are fun.
Yeah. Not all of them are games, but maybe they'll end on a game.
Okay.
Anyway, I'm going to ask you to spin it, but there are a number of ways that you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
You can spin it with your hand, as a normal person might do. You can spin it with your claw. I don't know if you have one. If you don't, one could be provided for you. You could spin it with your hair. Like, you'd really just spin your hair, and, like, the motion would somehow hit it and eventually start making it spin.
Would the song Whip Your Hair Back and Forth
could be useful, yeah, okay, in that instance. You could spin it with your eyes. Just, like, roll your eyes, and then it'll feel the sarcasm. It'll feel the frustration, and it'll just start spinning. I think those are the only ways that you can spin it. I guess you can spin it right round, baby, right round. But that one might be copyrighted, so maybe don't do that one.
Ah, okay.
So just whichever way you want to spin it, do you any preferences?
I will go with claw.
Okay. Do you have claw that you're gonna use?
Can you provide one for me, please?
I do, yeah. I just have one right here, so you can just put it on.
Okay.
So yeah.
Great. Just, thank you.
You'll have to give it back.
Of course. I wouldn't want to keep your claw.
I wouldn't want you to either. So yeah, just whenever you're ready, you can spin it with the claw. So.
Okay, here we go.
All right, so it's spinning. It takes a couple of seconds, so we still have some time to say some things, but not actually very many things at all. In fact, it's done now. So it looks like it's it's landed on a new game, actually. Well, it's only kind of new. Other podcasts do this. Other famous podcasts unlike us. And I think a lot of just normal people do it too. It's called Would You Rather.
Okay.
Are you familiar with this game?
I think so. Maybe not the way you might play it, but...
Okay, so the way we play it, which is not the same as other podcasts or other people do, is that we give you two options, right? And you have to do one or the other, right? And you have to tell us which one you're going to do. But the catch is you get to bring in a third one, right? I get to choose so I'll ask you between two, and you'll choose one of them, right? And then I'll have a choice between that one and another one that you make up, right? So then I'll have to choose between those two. So there's A and B, and then you'll choose between A and B. Let's say you choose B. Then you'll make up a C, and I'll have to choose between B and C. And then I'll choose one of those, C or D, and then I'll make up a D. Wait. Letters will go back and forth. Eventually, you'll have to choose between two that are left over, and it could be increasingly bad. And whichever one you choose, you have to do it.
Okay.
So,
will I have to do it today?
No, not necessarily. Okay. I mean, some of them might be time restricted, so who knows? You might have to do it later.
Okay.
You could do it today, I guess, if you wanted to. Maybe. We'll see what it is.
Okay.
So, I've actually come up with two that I've had in reserve for when we actually spun this game. Okay, so would you rather A, be an iguana, or B, be A? I assume it's the letter A. I was really tired when I wrote these, and honestly, I might have just stopped writing that one. So, it could have been any number of things. But would you rather be an iguana or be the letter A? Is, I guess, what the real question is here.
Well, I think in terms of experience, I would choose A, being the iguana, not the letter A.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. So you would choose answer A.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So now you come up with an option C, and you direct it towards me. So would I rather be an iguana or...
I guess this is C.
Right.
Would you rather be terrible at this game?
Oh, that's a trick question. You're trying to trick me. Because if I chose C, then I would have to be terrible at this game, which would mean that I chose the wrong answer. And I should have chose A. So I'm going to choose A. I'd rather be an iguana. So it looks like iguana is making it through to the final round.
It does.
So I've got to think of something that would make it especially difficult for you to choose between these two. It would have to be something equally as good or bad as being an iguana. Okay. Would you rather A, be an iguana, or D, never be able to choose being an iguana? Now remember, you have to do this. Whichever one you choose, you have to do. You either have to become an iguana, or you can never choose to be an iguana again.
Can I ask a clarifying question?
I am going to say yes, but I probably won't answer it.
Does our non-science agreement or belief apply here?
It's not a belief, it's fact.
It's fact. Okay,
yeah,
sorry.
Science is not okay. True.
Does that fact apply here?
I don't see how it wouldn't.
Okay, then I'm going to choose A.
Oh, you're going to choose to be an iguana then?
Yes.
So being an iguana moves on to the end. It won.
Yes.
Congratulations, letter A, for you being an iguana.
Would I have gotten a loser clap if I had chosen D?
I would have just clapped upside down like this.
Ah.
It's a little bit different.
Okay.
I mean, it wouldn't have been wrong.
It just wouldn't have been right.
I guess so. Especially if you played the game again later and you had to choose to be an iguana as both of them. Because you couldn't.
All right.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah. Or like if someone replayed the podcast, like this episode of the podcast, after you'd chosen not to be an iguana ever again, then this part of the episode just would be gone.
Or it's like almost like a choose your own adventure kind of thing. If I got into the an iguana part.
Yeah, exactly.
Couldn't have continued.
That's true. That's interesting. I didn't think about it that way. Well, you know, with facts like that, I think that's why it's good that you were on the show. So thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
I guess I should ask, did you want to become an iguana now? I mean, like, I know that you said, could you do it in the future? And you can. I there was nothing that's specified now. But, I mean, if you want to now, you can.
I think I'd prefer a slow metamorphosis into becoming
an iguana. Have you
started? I think I can start now, once this podcast is over.
I mean, there aren't rules against it. I have no rules against iguanas. Animal-human hybrids, yeah. So, like, once you get to the point of, like, 50-50 iguana and human, you can't be in here.
Okay, well, I'll be sure to let you know once I've reached 50-50.
Okay, yeah, just make sure you're out by then. But until then, I mean, you're welcome to be in here. And after you get past 50-50, like, once you're at 51-49 on the other side of more iguana than human, you're welcome back in.
Oh, okay.
I've already paid my pet deposit. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Will you be able to translate iguana for your viewers? Or your listeners? I'm sorry.
We'll provide subtitles.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
If you would like to hear your story read, send us a message on our Facebook page. Special thanks to ZFWindler11 for use of their story in this week's show. Special thanks to Rochelle Crotty for being our special guest. Our theme music is by Dustin Jones. Brian Dickman produces the show. I am your host, Cameron Lindsay, and this has been The Best Worst Story You've Never Read. Keep the stories coming.